Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we are going to be looking at another trait of love, the fact that love is not resentful. How about that? Have you ever really thought about how love is not resentful of anything? Or is it just something that you've never really considered? I mean, think about it. You've committed some very awful crimes in God's eyes. Lying, blaspheming, probably also worshiping things or desiring things instead of God alone, coveting things that don't belong to you, provoking everything about God to jealousy. And yet he didn't get resentful, he didn't cast you off, he loved you. And he basically tells you that you need to not rejoice in people falling into any kind of misfortune. You should be rejoicing when they succeed. You shouldn't be resentful, bitter, upset when things didn't go your way. Because you want nothing except what Jesus Christ himself would want. Not just for you, but for all. Love and truth always go together. Since love knows that God is the one true good, it detests iniquity, which is opposed to God's will, and it takes pleasure only in what God wills. Therefore, the soul that truly loves God does not care what people have to say about him, because it only seeks to do what pleases God. The ones who are truly on good terms with God are those who strive to fulfill the truth and otherwise pay no heed to how they are treated or thought of by others. It doesn't make a difference if somebody is so upset with you that they cost you your job or they basically treat you like dirt, because the end result is you're a child of the King. You don't get moved by those circumstances of life. Holiness and perfection in any way, shape, or form consist in truly denying yourself and following the will of God. And if we truly want to become saints, all of our effort must be aimed at never following our own will, but only His will. His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, not our will. This is very important. It is the essence of everything that God commands and counsels us, because in everything He wants us to live out His will, to experience His good in our lives, and to not be worried about the shortcomings that come about because of others. If we truly want to have a free spirit to embrace everything that's pleasing to God, we must see that anything that wants to be about self-love or the respect of others is something that is truly at odds with the truth and love that God wants us to experience. We want nothing to please ourselves, for we only want to be pleasing to God. And the same peace of mind that comes to us in small things will be there, because we'll always know that we please God. This is what St. Augustine was meaning when he said, love and do what you want. Because if you truly love God and seek nothing but his pleasure, you will find contentment in all things. It is only the satisfaction of Christ that truly pleases every soul. Our hearts are truly restless until they find their place in Him. Love is perfect if it has the strength to make a person forget all of their personal interests and pleasures, and focuses all their thoughts upon pleasing the beloved, while trying to honor and make others honor that same God. In all the troubles that we have in life, it's because we don't keep our eyes fixed on Him. We step out of the boat, we follow like Peter through the storm on the water, and before we get to Jesus, we notice there's a storm, and we notice we're walking on water, and we start sinking. Hebrews 12 tells us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, looking unto Him who is the author and finisher of everything that we do. Because if we have no other goal but moving ahead, we would quickly reach it and never fall 1,000 times like we do when we take our eye off the one true path. Here's what we must do to have the aim of all of our thoughts, actions, desires, and prayers reach the goal that it ought to receive. Do I really want God's pleasure instead of something else? Because if I can stick close to the will of God, I will become a saint, I will become holy, and I will really live out the gospel the way I ought. Scripture declares it this way: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's Matthew 23, verse 37. And this is what we hear when we declare, what am I to do, Lord? Lord, let me know what you want from me, for I wish to do it all. Let me know what you want, because it's conformity to your will that is our true treasure and the remedy of all evils. Because as we continue to get united with God, we'll experience all the virtues that come into our lives from Him. What shall I do, Lord, is the question we must ask. And we will hear Jesus say, my will, not yours, be done. This means that the Lord will repay us for every good that we will ever have, and for every tribulation we patiently embrace as part of His will. For we know that the Lord never sends any distress without rewarding us for some favor, as long as we accept it with the proper resignation of love. Our conformity to God's will must be entire, unreserved, and constant. We cannot go back on our word, because perfection means reaching out to this goal in all of our works, desires, and prayers. There's too many people that get into prayer and try to get into the whole thing of being Christian. But once they get past the initial stage and they start seeing how difficult it is, they abandon Christ and His church. These are the seed that start growing up but are among thorns, and the thorns squash out the true joy of the Lord before it brings any profit in life. It started growing, it started showing something. Then it got crushed because the cares of the world were more important than loving God. Being united with God does not consist in some form of ecstasy of feeling or great emotions or anything like that. It's about really being subjected to the will of God. Being able to say, not my will, but your will be done. Be it done according to your word, the fiat of Mary. Because if we subject ourselves perfectly to God's will in everything, everything that God wants in our lives will happen. And we don't have to constantly beg of the Lord what He wants, because we're truly pursuing it. Let us give the Lord our will, so that we want nothing but what He wants, so that when adversity comes, we don't have to do anything more than yield calmly to the will of God in that. Too often we complain about having misfortune in the world, insisting that everything bad that happens to us leads us to an unhappy life, without realizing that what we really need to be attached to is not the things of creation, but the Creator, who transcends them all. If we are one with God's will, we will truly become the happiest people of the world. We must concentrate all our efforts in keeping our will united to the will of God, so that whatever befalls us, whether pleasant or unpleasant, doesn't move us about with every wind of doctrine or whatever. Too many people resemble weather vanes, turning whichever way the wind blows. If the wind favors their desires, you see them cheerful and meek. But once the wind goes contrary to them and things don't go as they'd like, they get sad and impatient, depressed and upset. This is why many don't become saints, and why many people's lives are unhappy. It is because in this life we'll have adversity rather than happiness. There are many people who like to receive good things, but fail to understand how God can maintain our peace of mind and tranquility of heart no matter what happens to us. I think the ancient fathers of the desert, those first monotheists, those guys that went to monasteries in the mountains, they realized that it's about accepting everything as a gift of God, even the bad things, that gives you peace. Oh, truly happy are those who live holy and entirely united and abandoned to God's will. For those are the kind of people that won't be puffed up by success or downcast by any failure. For they'll know that both come from the same hand of God. The will of God is the only thing that governs anyone's will. And if you do only what God wants, you'll see everything in your life happening as God wills it. You don't need to undertake many things. You just need to accomplish purpose perfectly and with great abandon that one thing that is God's good pleasure for you. With a single obligation, your life can be filled to the greatest and most glorious of all results because you love God above any other thing that could move your heart. We will be blessed when we receive from God all the things that He sends to us because we are in perfect conformity to His divine will. Regardless of whether these situations suit our inclinations or not, we shall come to enjoy the will of God in every event that happens to us without regard for anything other than knowing God's good pleasure. This is how we truly throw ourselves unreservedly into the arms of a most loving Heavenly Father and leaves to Him the care of our persons and our affairs. Because we know that, as the Scripture says, God looks on a sparrow, and not one falls from the sky without Him taking notice of it. So we shouldn't be careful about what we are to eat or to drink or to be worried and upset about the things of this world, because God knows that we have need of them. And if we truly pray, give us this day our daily bread, we know that He'll give us our daily bread because He's like any good father. And if we who are evil know how to give good things to our children, so will our Heavenly Father take care of us. We need to have what's known as a holy abandonment, because being holy and purely abandoned to Christ is what brings about a true spirit of holy perfection that can be the true happiness that we experience in this life without fear nor wish nor yearning for anything in the world, because we've received the greatest of all things, God's love in our lives. Too many devise some form of holiness to suit their own natural inclinations. A melancholy person will exalt the life of a hermit. A busybody is all for preaching and doing great works for God. Certain harsh personalities will seek out penance and various mortifications or punishments that they can inflict upon themselves and see others do. Others are naturally generous prize winners who love to give away big sums of money because they have them. Still others like to visit sanctuaries and go about as pilgrims throughout the world and see this basilica or this cathedral, go to this site, Lourdes, to see where the Blessed Mary went, or to go to Fatima or some other place where there's a visitation. And all these are holy in and of themselves. But these external works do not rise out of a love for Jesus Christ or the will of God, and therefore have little meaning in God's eyes. Because what God wants is us to deny ourselves and choose what is most pleasing to God, simply because He willed that for us. Because if we truly serve God, truly, it won't be at a certain place or in a certain position with certain companions or under certain circumstances. God wants us to love Him and Him alone. Sometimes we lose certain employments or have to move from certain cities or not exceed in certain jobs that we want to exceed in, because God's trying to wean us from being a slave to some selfish love that keeps us focused on something other than Him. Too many live lives of perpetual disquietness because they are attached to what makes them happy rather than being pleasing to God in all things. True lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ will love only what pleases Him, and only because it pleases Him. The when, where, and how doesn't matter. Whether God chooses to employ that person in a place of great honor or in a mean and lowly task, as a life of celebrity or a life hidden and neglected, means nothing. Because the only thing that matters to an individual who's truly not trying to exalt themselves or hold resentment or hold themselves back in some fashion is just really all about knowing God and loving Him and truly being who He wants us to be in life. Most of us should prefer to be insects crawling on the ground rather than eagles flying in the heaven, because we shouldn't try to bring about our own personal satisfaction at the cost of our own souls. Hear the words of Matthew 7:22. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Is doing something as a Christian more important than doing the will of God and being a Christian? Our Lord answers false people, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Matthew 7:23. Do you truly know God? Do you truly want to be pleasing to God? Or do you just want the status of Christian, the label placed on your life? We should never be someone who tries to be a disciple without following the one whom we desire to please. There are too many people that go about doing works in their own temperament and strength without really knowing the true salvation that comes from God, that does more for somebody else than anything imperfectly that we could do for ourselves. To become the kind of person who truly loves, we need to have true contempt for ourselves and really limit our own desires in order to conform to the will of God. That is the only thing that gives us perfection. The rich man came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? And when he said, Lord, I've done all these things that you've asked so far, Jesus asked one more thing. Sell all you have and give to the poor and come follow me. Wow. He wasn't asking him to give up anything as a deed to do. He was testing whether or not he truly did love God. Because just doing good works without wanting to do the will of God is not what saves you. Too many people want to know, if I come in at this point in the Mass and I leave at that point in the Mass, I've done the Mass. No, he's not looking for people following a legalistic code. He's looking for people who truly want to love him. It's one thing if you get held up in traffic one time. It's another thing if every time you go to Mass, you leave the instant bread touches your lips. There's a blessing that comes after communion. There's a moment of reflection that we should be having back in the pew before we leave. We should hear, "Our Mass is ended, go in peace," to love and serve one another, and to truly live out the life of Christ, because we serve a will that's not our own. Because we're not trying to get back to the TV. Because we're not trying to get away from a place that we didn't want to be in the first place. We really need to understand how to give ourselves completely and without reserve to the Lord, and to surrender to His will in every circumstance and every event in life. Because this is what divine providence asked of us. We need to learn that we need to welcome the things that thwart self-love and make us a true lover of the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it means to suffer. Thomas a Kempis once said in The Imitation of Christ that no one deserves to be called a lover who is not ready to endure all things for the one they love and to follow that will in all things. You can't travel to God as an afterthought. You need to give yourself to God in a way that truly shows that you are pleasing to Him, because you seek to please Him and accept every cross that He brings in your way. It should be observed that we not only receive adversity with the same resignation that we receive the blessings of God, but it's something that we need to understand, that sickness, lack of finances, accidental losses in life are the same sort of adversity that comes indirectly from God, as does persecutions, thefts, or insults. All in truth come to us because God allows it. Let Him alone be who God wants them to be. Some souls, greedy for spiritual pleasures and prayer, go off and try to find sweet and tender feelings for what they're looking for. We should never think that we've arrived at purity just because we have something that shows we are blessed. We should only have, as the proof of who we are in Christ, the gift of having a will united to God in such a way that it accepts all things from Him. The most loving heart of our Savior loves us so dearly that we just need to be entirely focused on Him, and we'll have His help for every grace that will ever happen in our lives. And when we do that, nothing can cause us to be bitter or resentful. We can truly give all things to God, who loves us and will be with us forever. Because that is the true blessing of Christianity.